Welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast focused on spiritual warfare. Today, we're going into special edition spiritual warfare battle plan for broken families. I'm Dr. Charlie, and I'm curious, have you ever been married to someone with a sexual addiction? Better yet, have you ever been that Christian woman or man that is sitting on the church pew every Sunday? And you're married to someone with a sexual addiction. You're gonna love my next guest. I am very, very happy to welcome Shauna Holder. Shauna, thank you for being with me on the podcast today.
Thank you for loving me like you do.
Listen, it's so easy to love you. It is so easy to love you. I am so privileged that we've been friends now for several years. I mean, almost 5 years, I think. And Shauna's testimony just continues to inspire me and to challenge me and to make me think deeper about the things of God. So I'm really, really glad that you're here. Shauna is an Arkansan, born and bred. She lives in Conway, Arkansas, and she has an amazing, amazing testimony. She has walked through life as a believer, but she has also walked through very challenging circumstances. She and her husband own a lot of rental properties. So you are a do-it-yourself gal. Like, you're really a guru. When I hear you talk about things, I'm like, I'm so impressed with
this all of the woman. Power tools.
All of the power tools. Y'all, she can fix a toilet. I love it. And so you really got into home repair with your husband, and you know how to do all these things. And you now use that to serve others in your community, which is totally beautiful. Y'all, she, by the way, she did all of this. She raised five kids, and she has 8 grandkids. And if you can see her picture, you're going to go, what? There's no way this beautiful woman has 8 grandkids, but she does. And they spend a lot of time in the outdoors, a lot of family time. They still do. You love to do those things with your grandkids. She is a speaker. She is a worship leader. Oh my goodness. She could, and a songwriter. Yeah. She didn't tell me to put that in her bio, but she's a songwriter and she's a mentor to other women. And so Shauna, thank you for the way you contribute to the body of Christ.
It's easy when you love God, the loving people comes a lot more naturally.
People are much easier when we have Jesus, just all the people in you. Yes. So Shauna, tell us, just kind of give us a summary of your story.
Oh, which story? Oh, this story.
This story. Yeah.
So my husband and I was very young when we married, and he was in his almost 40 when we married. And it was amazing. We had the quintessential perfect Christian marriage. 5 babies in 5 years. And we did all of the things, all of the outdoor adventures, all of the just loving each other. And I had seen some the magazines early on, and he was like, well, I've been a bachelor for so many years and guys have needs. And I was just young and dumb. And he was like, but now I have you. And he kept it well hidden until technology came around. And now I'm telling my age. But when computers came in the home, it became, he'd leave it on the screen. And we talked about it, but then as technology continued, everybody, all of the kids were now in junior high school. They had computers. At that point, we were homeschooling. So everybody was online a lot doing research and stuff. And having all of the technology connected, you think is a good thing. As a parent, you can say, oh, well, I know what my kid is watching or looking at. It also means that your stuff leaks into their stuff. And there were not parental controls and all of that
at that time.
They just didn't exist.
Right.
So my kids were introduced to porn at a very young age. And it just, as addiction goes, you need more to get your hit. And then you need more to get that same hit. And then you need more and more. And it was a downward spiral. And we were married for almost 25 years. And that last year, we didn't even share a bed together. But I was clinging to the hope that he knew Jesus. He had a relationship with God. So I was clinging to the hope that he would have a moment with God, but
Right.
he passed away of a heart attack. And I
Yeah.
really feel like God just took him out of that so that he didn't have
Man.
to deal with it anymore.
So tell me, how did you deal with that kind of dichotomy? Because it's a split life. I mean, you had he wasn't mean to you. He wasn't, I mean, y'all had a business together. But there was this side of him that needed something that you weren't enough. How did you deal with that?
Well, first I let him know how it made me feel because you can't just shove it under the rug and pretend it's not there. And, we talked. We had a very, very connected relationship. So I was able to say, "Do you understand that this is sinful? Do you see where this is leading our marriage and our family?" And he agreed, but he was not willing to do anything about it. He said, "My problem, my issue, my whatever." And I'm like, "But every sin that we have affects somebody besides us, whether
Yes.
we want to admit that or not." So it wasn't a dichotomy. I mean, it was, but it wasn't, because I still loved him and he still loved me. And you just have to keep on keeping on with God despite the circumstances, no matter what your circumstances are, whether it's a porn addicted husband or kids that are going the wrong way or finances that aren't right, or you just have to keep one foot in front of the other.
Okay, so I wanna hone in on something because you did this in the midst of your faith. I mean, you were serving in the church and you're leading worship and all of these things. So you're grounded in the word at this point.
Yes.
Did you ever at any point doubt God?
That's interesting. Yes, constantly. Did I make a wrong choice? Did I do the wrong thing? And I have a very cool story that I will try to synopsis. I was engaged to my high school sweetheart, and my mother and grandmother went together and bought me all of this china. And he said, "Just pick out what you want." He was a guy, he didn't care. So I picked out this china and they bought me every piece of everything. Well, that marriage did not happen. Praise God. My husband's sister collected china from around the world. And she said at a wedding shower, she said, "Oh my gosh, this is such a beautiful pattern. What is it?" I'm like, "I don't know. I just liked it." She turned it over and it had his name on it, my husband's name on the bottom of the china.
Oh.
So every time I question, "God, did I marry the right man?" God said, "I had this man picked out for you before you even knew him, when you were planning on marrying the other guy." So every time I had those doubts, it was, "Go look at your china. Go look at your china."
Interesting. Wow. So you didn't doubt God? Were you mad
Oh, I
at? Well, okay, so but you managed to keep coming back, like coming back
Yes.
to that healthy spiritual place. Were you mad at God?
No, I was mad at Satan.
Okay.
I mean, my husband knew God. His relationship with God was, he heard from God. Now, I don't know how you can hear from God and still continue to live in sin, but he did, and he chose that.
Well, David
I mean,
did.
again, I don't know how you wait. Actually, we all do that every day. Yeah. I was mad. I wasn't even mad at Kent, because one of the most profound things that I learned in all of this was pray that God would help me to see them, whoever they are at the moment, as he does, which is
That's
loved,
so good.
have a purpose in life, fully loved, but damaged, as we all are. And so, was I mad at Kent for not choosing to get help? Yeah. Was I mad at him for being addicted to porn in the first place? Not really. Circumstances in the world as they are, it's so easy to seep in, but I'm mad at Satan for doing that.
So on the dark days, the more challenging moments, what kind of scriptures carried you? How did because we can't go through something like that in our own power.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
So, and I know you're a word girl. I know you're in the word. So what kind of scriptures carried you?
I love the entire book of Habakkuk, not so much the whole book, the beginning and the end. But he begins by saying, God, do you even hear me? Where are you in all of this? Are you even there? And then at the end, he says, but even if there's no grapes on the vine, no figs on the tree, no cattle in the stalls, even if I will still praise you. And that has been there's so many scriptures that are like that. That Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is David, right? He says, why are you so far from me? Wah, 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 wah. And God can take that. Like, if you have big
Yes, he
emotions
can.
that you need to get out, God can take it. And then David goes on to say, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And I love the 22, the repeated, God talks to me through repeated stuff. So Psalm 22, verse 22 specifically says, because of you, not because of what he's done, not because of circumstantial stuff, but because of who you are, because of you, I will offer praise in the great assembly. And praise and worship is warfare. It is warfare.
It
Satan,
is.
when you tell God how beautiful and holy and righteous and good he is, Satan runs away. Ah! He can't stand to be in the
Know.
presence of holiness. And scripture says he inhabits the praises of his people. So when his people are praising him, he's right there.
And for
So
the, I just want to say for
my
those who are listening who can't sing, I'm one of those gals. I cannot sing like Shauna, but I do it anyway. God
But
can
you
take
play
that
the
too.
piano
I
and I
can play
can't.
the piano, yeah,
So
but
it's, and if you can't sing, that's fine. Worshiping is not musical necessarily.
right.
Worshiping is use your voice. Your voice is the only voice like yours. It's like a thumbprint. There's voice recognition things for a reason, because nobody else before or after has a voice like yours.
That's
Use it
good.
to release the spiritual things. It's like Horton Hears a Who. Every who matters. Every Christian voice matters.
Yeah.
And it changes the whole atmosphere. You are in charge of the atmosphere of your house. So pray, praise, worship. My sweet mama said, when you don't feel emotions, which change with the sway of wind. When you don't feel like worshiping, that's the time that you need to worship the most.
Those are
And
wise words.
it's hard. It is
Wise
so
words.
difficult. But once you do, and there's a neuroplasticity is amazing. There's a thing where, okay, so the neurons in your brain, when you start something new, it's rough, like a dirt road. And then it becomes a highway, and then it becomes a freeway, then it becomes an interstate, then it becomes a airport runway. When we practice the hard things, they become easier and easier and easier until that's our immediate response.
So let's go a slightly different direction, because you alluded to this, that your children knew that their father had a porn addiction.
Some of them. I have one. Now, my kids are all adults now, and we're all in good relationship with each
Right.
other. One of my girls was oblivious, completely
Okay.
oblivious. And I'm like, how did you not know? I don't know. She just didn't know.
Okay.
But the other four knew, and my youngest was greatly affected because she was younger when technology came around, and I've always had a very open relationship with my kids. When they came to me with questions, I wouldn't necessarily give them all of the information. I would give them age-appropriate information. And then as they got older, I would ask them, are you ready for adult information? Because if I give this to you, you're going to be responsible for it. She had not gotten there yet. So she didn't have any foundation of what was what, basically.
Right. Did you struggle with, I've got to tell my kids something. Like I have to talk about this. There's an elephant in the room, and not get trapped in your own emotions in the moment. I can imagine that there were moments when your emotions were provoked as well. I just imagine that, if nothing else, anger that your children had been exposed to something like that.
Yes. Obviously, you can't get mad at the kid.
Right. So how did you balance that? Did you find yourself like, oh, I can't react, like inside just telling yourself I can't react the way I want to react?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously you can't, but I grew up in an abusive home. So I've always been really good about keeping things under wraps.
Okay.
With them, when they saw stuff on the computer or their phone or whatever, and I found it, or I found out that they had been on a site or whatever, we would talk, and sometimes it just popped up. I couldn't, and I don't know. I didn't know whether it was sought out or whether it just popped up. But that's a teaching moment. And so we would always talk about it. I don't care how it came on your screen. We're going to talk about this. Why is it wrong? What does God say about it? Why is it, why does God say it's wrong, and then how is it going to affect you?
Right.
So
So, did
I don't
any of
want to
your
say it's a
children, do you
spiritual.
know, do any of your children, have they suffered the same addiction?
I have one my that is he's not walking with the Lord right now,
Okay.
and I don't really know what his situation is. I mean, we talk, but it's very surface level.
Right, okay.
I have my youngest that was greatly affected ended up getting pregnant as a teenager,
Okay.
and that was hard. She's coming out of it now, praise God. And then I have another one that went into full out rebellion. And I know that she did end up sleeping with some guys before marriage,
Right.
and had a rough marriage, and is now divorced. And And I know, you can't say that was because of my husband's porn addiction, but I know that it did affect her.
Right, it introduces things.
It does too early. I mean, Song of Solomon says, don't awaken it until it's time, which is marriage.
One of the things, and I don't know why this popped into my mind, but maybe I'm supposed to share it, that I have come to realize is that all of these romance novels, even before technology, you had romance novels, that's still pornography.
Yes.
And
Hallmark movies can be.
yeah,
Yeah.
and it's very scary how a child can just pick up a romance novel and people become addicted to romance novels, and they don't realize that you may not be watching a picture on the screen, but you're watching a picture in your mind.
Yes.
Same demons, same devils, you
Yes.
know. And I don't know why that popped in my mind, but if maybe if there's a listener who's listening and thinks, oh, well, I don't do that on the screen, but you've got a pile of romance novels, you have the same situation.
And one of my daughters was doing that, and she said, "Mom, I just realized that this is
See, and I
affecting
didn't know that.
marriage." Like, you get it. You get it. Yes.
You get it, right.
And I
So,
will say this too. I don't know why this popped in my mind, but I've had, some of my young ladies that I have some influence with have asked me, is it okay to watch porn as a married couple? And I'm like, on what planet are you living on? Porn is porn is porn. It's
yeah,
wrong.
it's
It's wrong.
wrong.
It's wrong. There is something so supernaturally, it is supernatural when a man and a woman come together. There is something that we don't even understand. It is so deep and so beautiful that we can't even in our finite minds understand. And if you have somebody else in the room with you, whether it is on the screen, in a book, just in your mind, we need to make sure that our minds are clean when we go to bed with our spouse.
That's
Yeah.
good. That's really
And
good.
that's somebody's daughter. Somebody's mom, somebody's sister. Do you want somebody looking at your sister, your daughter like that?
Yeah.
That's lust. That is absolute
That's what I've
lust.
always told my boys. You realize that's somebody's mother or that's somebody's sister. Would you want your sister doing that?
Yeah.
So, wow. So, what would you say
Can I
for some?
hang on
Oh,
just a second?
yeah.
Adultery begins in the mind, right? King
Yes.
David saw Bathsheba. Adultery begins in the mind. So you can say, I'm not bothering anybody, I'm not hurting anybody by looking at this. It begins in the mind, and that's adultery, and that hurts your relationship with your spouse. Period.
That's so true. That's so true. So, did you ever consider that? I mean, according to the Bible, that's justification for divorce. So, did you ever consider that that's what
Yeah.
you would do? Yeah.
I did consider it, but I really felt like God was saying, I don't want this to sound wrong, but like you are his salvation. I mean, you are his way out. You are the example. When man and
Well, it's a
woman were,
Hosea situation.
yes. And when man and woman join together, they are one. So half of me was sick. Does it just because you have an elbow that's causing you issues, you don't chop off your arm and leave it somewhere.
No, that's
You
very true.
work it, you go to therapy, you whatever you
Right.
need to do. We were one. We were one. And this is something I can highly recommend. Let your spouse know that you are for them no matter what. I have got your back 1,000%. Let's go to therapy. Let's go to, you know, whatever you want to do to get rid of this. Let's start praying together nightly. Let's start whatever it is. I am for you. I am your biggest cheerleader. Let's do this together. Not you have a problem and it's affecting me. Let's do this together.
Wow. That is a truly selfless move.
That is really difficult to do because it's in our nature to self-protect. You hurt me, so I'm going to put a brick on the wall. You hurt me again, I'm going to put another brick on the wall. Pretty soon I can't even see you. And nowhere in the Bible did it say, above all things, protect yourself. It said, love others.
Wow.
Even when it hurts, love others.
That is so true. And we do. We build those brick walls.
Yeah.
We build those brick walls. So do you have a favorite, because you've obviously researched them, like a favorite recovery or therapy group or ministry that
I
you found is most effective or
no? I didn't do any of that. I know a,
not that you're not advocating for it, just you just didn't.
Yeah,
do it
no,
yourself.
I never even really researched it. I did start going to a deeply spiritually linked guy. He's a counselor. And I think my husband went a couple times. And I don't think we ever went together, maybe once. He wouldn't go. I think he just went maybe 2, 3, 4 times. I went for a while because I needed some counsel. But I never looked anything up because I knew whatever I suggested would be
right.
Rejected.
Okay.
And so you know, porn addiction is addiction. It's addiction like anything else.
It's a dopamine situation.
It is. It's a brain issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that it's not a spiritual issue too, but it's not just, well, just quit looking at it. Just don't pick up those magazines. Don't go to that website. Just don't do it. You can't say that. And so
right.
The person, it is a very individualistic healing process, and whatever that person needs. If your spouse says, hey, I think I want to get help from this place, do it.
Right.
Do it. I mean, make sure it's not like New Age or something like that.
Right.
But whatever they suggest, do it. And you might say, hey, do you want me to research things? Because I will if you want me to. But I know that my husband would have rejected whatever I gave him. So
right.
I just didn't bother.
And you know, one of the things that I have learned about sexual addiction, and I learned this from people who have walked through that addiction. And that is that just like an alcoholic struggles to go to the grocery store because there's alcohol there. And what are you going to do? Tell an alcoholic, don't ever buy groceries again.
Right.
Sex is everywhere.
Literally.
Literally. I remember when we went from on television, and now I'm going to date both of us. You know, anybody young who's listening is going to go, oh my gosh, they're so old. But I remember when all the sitcoms, the husband and the wife slept in beds apart.
Okay, so I saw those reruns.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they were reruns, but I remember when the Bradys of the Brady Bunch were in the
yes.
same bed. That was risque. And then the next thing you know, in the same decade, I think it was Prel shampoo I think it was Prel shampoo. You can watch a commercial and suddenly you can see neck and shoulders of a woman in the shower and she was having a sexual experience.
Oh.
And
wow.
I just remember my mother going, oh my gosh. Like, they let that on television. And the only thing that was showing was her neck and shoulders. And But it was extremely suggestive. And so now we've just had this evolution of skin. And I used to have a women's home, and we took in transient women and gave them a place to live and helped them get back on their feet. And they would do their best to dress up nice for church, but they just had this bad habit of showing a lot of chest and, real short skirts and everything. And I was constantly saying, up in the front, down in the back, up in the front, down in the back. But a pastor came to me and said, I really need for your women to wear pants or to wear longer skirts or, and he wasn't wrong. I mean, but it's a homeless shelter. Your resources for dressing them are limited, but he said, we have men in this audience are in this body of believers who have been through a lot of sexual addiction. And that completely distracts them
Yes.
from trying to get into the presence of the Lord and trying to get into the Word of God and to learn and to grow. And that had never occurred to me. And I went, wow. And so from that point forward, I was so careful about what we wore, what they wore, what I wore. I mean, I didn't really care what they wore. I just wanted to come hear the word of God, but I changed my
And
whole perspective after that.
God created men that way. He created them to have a sexual appetite and to be visually stimulated.
Right.
It's not wrong. It just needs to be done in the proper setting. Like
Right.
anything else in life, anger is not wrong. I mean, Jesus turned over tables in the temple,
Right.
but it was that righteous anger that was geared specifically in the right direction. Everything has a time and a place.
Just because you have a pet alligator doesn't mean you feed it any way you want to. You got to be careful.
True. With a
And
long
anybody who's never been around alligators doesn't understand that. But anyway, I, having grown up in Texas and Louisiana, I do. So there are certain things about alligators you've got to know. Okay, so is there anything that we didn't discuss that you feel like is just so important that people who are in a marriage where sexual addiction, pornography is just, it's there and it just won't leave and it just won't go away. Is there something you need to say to them?
I there there I have my little notes here. So, his addiction is not your shame.
Can we just say his or her?
Yes, I'm speaking from my perspective. Yeah.
Right. But this
Your
can be the other way
spouse's
around.
your oh yeah, for sure. It can be. Yeah.
Okay. But it's not
Your
what?
spouse's addiction is not your shame. Satan shames, God convicts. So you can go with your head held high and say, half of me is injured, but praise God, we're going to get better. And don't ever lose hope. When you lose hope, worship. Again, with the atmosphere in your home, your words matter. Be
Yeah.
so careful how you speak about your spouse to others. You need to always be respectful. Just because someone is injured, somebody who has cancer, you don't go, those stupid people were eating wrong and now they can't even get out of bed because they have cancer. You wouldn't do that. So you don't do that to your spouse either. Be
Yeah.
respectful always. They are still God's child. Pray, 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 pray. Pray specifically. So I would pray that my husband would get nauseated and feel like he was going to vomit every time he saw porn. Blanket prayers are great. I'm not, there is not a prayer that goes un
Heard.
answered, yeah, unheard. But be specific. God, protect my children. Don't let that awaken in them until it is time. God, if somebody in my home is trying to get on a porn website, I pray that you would get in the wires and mess things up. Cause that computer to crash, cause the internet to go out. Lightning storm, power off, something. Pray specifically. And just worship, because worship is warfare.
Yeah. And of course, we would, at Act of Faith, we would encourage you to stake your property, put the word of
Oh,
God
absolutely.
everywhere. And I would just like to say, if anyone has struggled and you feel like you have wounds on your soul from this, I wrote The Wounded Warrior, and you do develop wounds on the soul, whether you are the person with the addiction or the person that is living with the addiction. And I would strongly suggest reading through that and walking through that. The other is, I had a man one time that was in my seminar, and I talked about soul ties, and he had lived with a porn addiction for, I think, 20 years, and he and his wife got divorced because it was so bad. And he was being very reckless with finances and everything in that addiction. And so they got divorced, and then he got help, got better, and they remarried. And then,
Amen.
yeah, amen. And then several years later, they're sitting in my seminar, and I talked about breaking unhealthy soul ties and asking God to promote and bless the healthy soul ties. And when I never knew that, I had never seen it from this perspective, but he came back to the next class and he said, "I have to tell you what happened after the last class." I said, "What happened?" He said, "I had this sexual addiction for this long," and he repeated the story I just told you. And he said, "I went home and I just said, 'Lord, are there any unhealthy soul ties?'" And he said, "I had done really good for so long, and all of a sudden, every single person that I had ever seen, man or woman, in a pornography video or at a strip club or anything, all those people, their faces just start flashing before my eyes." He said, "I was up all night long breaking unhealthy soul ties with those people, even though I didn't even know their names. I had an unhealthy, ungodly soul tie with them." And he said, "By the time my wife woke up, I was a new man. I felt like I had lost 100 pounds." He said, "And I didn't ask God to bless the healthy soul ties. I didn't have any healthy soul ties with those people." He said, "But I broke all the ungodly, unhealthy soul ties. He said, "I would think I was done, and God would go, 'Oh, what about this one?' And I would think of more. And so I would just start doing it again." He said, "It took me all night, but I am free."
Amen.
And I was like, wow. So, if there is somebody who's listening, I would just really, if you want to learn more about that, there's a book called The Ties That Bind, and you can get it on our website at active-faith.org.
And that's a
So
matter of authority too. You have authority in your home
that's
to
right.
tell Satan to get the heck out, that I have authority over my home, over my bedroom, over my computers. And I
And you have
just,
authority in your marriage.
yes.
God plus one is always a majority.
Amen.
And when you are in covenant marriage, there are three people, three beings in that marriage. And so you have authority over your spouse. Okay. Wow. Thank you, Shauna. This has been so rich, so rich. Would you pray over anyone that is listening to this podcast that may be dealing with this? Would you just pray over them real quick?
Father God, anyone who is listening, I just lift up to you and I say, have your way. Have your way with them, Father God. Lord, I pray that you let them know how loved they are, how completely protected they are by you, that you are their champion, and that the victory is yours. And because it's yours, it's theirs. God, I pray that you would strengthen them with your joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Strengthen them with your joy so that they can make it through these ups and downs and craziness. And I just pray, God, that you would give them an openness that they can just pour out everything they have on you, their love, but also their anger and their resentment and their feeling like they're not enough. God, remind them who they are. Lift their heads up and remind them that they are a child of the King, that you created them with purpose. And God, I pray that you would help them to see their spouse the same way. Lord, I just declare that you are Lord over all, that you are all. You are enough. You are enough. Our circumstances do not dictate to us our joy. You are enough.
Yes.
Jesus, we pray these things in your mighty name because you are enough. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Shauna. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. And thank you all listeners for joining us for Battle Plan for Broken Families, where we are not just rehashing all of the hard stuff that we live through, but instead we are interviewing and learning from people who have made it through using the Word of God, using the right tools, and giving us great examples. If you would like to learn more about Active Faith, you can find us at active-faith.org. Thank you. Until next time, I'm Dr. Charlie.